You're listening to the podcast of Living Grace Church in Hinckley, Minnesota. We invite you to join us this Sunday at 10 o'clock as we look to the Scriptures, seeking to grow in the gospel of grace alone.
How do I follow up that act? Advent is the time where we look forward to Christ coming, as the Old Testament believers looked forward to Christ coming. We have the benefit of having Christ come. We know He came. He's coming again. And this is a little snapshot of what it looks like when He comes again. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness He judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and His head are many diadems. He has a name written that no one knows but Himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which He is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following Him on a white horse. We're following Him on white horses. From His mouth comes a sharp sword, from which to strike down the nations, and He will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepresses of the fury of the wrath of the God the Almighty. On His robe and on His thigh, He has the name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Imagine that being directed toward you. Outside of what Christ did on the cross, the man with eyes like suns, with a sword from His mouth and armies arrayed behind Him, is pointed at you. That's a scary picture. We need peace with that God. Because we were at war with Him, our base nature also is at war with each other. Satan looks to divide us and devour us and to keep us at war with that God. But He made a way, God made a way for us to be with Him. To adopt us not just at peace, but as heirs, fellow brothers and sisters with the Messiah.
Yay!
It's amazing news. The word for peace, biblically, we see two words used, one in Hebrew, one in Greek. The Greek word, when it's used, is made and used with knowledge of the Hebrew word. It's not used in like a vacuum where the Hebrew word isn't echoed. That's important because the Hebrew word doesn't just mean no longer at war. It doesn't just mean, all right, we sheathed our swords. It means we turn those swords into plowshares. And now both parties work together for mutual good. It means the walls that were obliterated in conflict are rebuilt and whole. It means the families where fathers are gone are whole again. Where widows aren't husbandless. There are no more orphans. Cattle who are slaughtered are restored. That made right is what the word peace in Hebrew means. It's not just that we stopped fighting. It's the presence of unity and mutual care where two parties who drove each other crazy, hurt each other, became angry with each other, now think highly of each other and are glad to serve each other. Where the lost are found. That's what it means to be at peace with God. This has been an important word for me personally. I know what I want, and it's usually not peace. My base nature is not concerned with shalom, but I've tasted it. I know how good that peace is and how good our God is. I want it. I want it so bad I got it tattooed on me. I got it inscribed on the inside of my wedding ring. Because it's not easy or convenient. It's not something you can just follow five steps and make happen. It's a supernatural act. Ephesians 2, 11 through 22. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of the commandments expressed in the ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure is being joined together, grows into a holy temple. In him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. It's important to us to dial in on what specifically God outlines here was broken before we have hope in Christ. Verse 11, we see we defined good and evil for ourselves. They called the uncircumcision. What is the circumcision? We, each of us, and through Adam, bit and tasted the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. We think we know what's right. In Judges, we see in every man defined good for himself. Instead of turning to an outside source of what's good, the definition of goodness. We were separated from God, verse 12, and the body. We were far off, alienated, strangers, foreigners in a foreign land. The nation of God is not our home outside of Christ. That army arrayed in Revelation is not fighting for us outside of Christ. It's pointed at us. Again, in verse 12, we had no hope. It's not something we can make happen in our own flesh. Verse 14, there was hostility between us and God, between us and God's people. Everyone's got knives pointed at everyone else. It's a Mexican standoff. It's not a safe place for us. The ways of the world make sense in this, where every man for himself, dog eat dog. We have to defend ourselves from being hurt by each other. Every fiber of our natural being wants to make war. With our children, with our spouses. Because we're at war vertically. We need that peace that comes by being adopted, not by what we deserve, but through grace in Christ. He is our peace. He makes right what we could not make right. But God, in Christ we have been brought near through his death and resurrection in verse 13. He makes things right for us in verse 14. He makes us one people, no longer Jew or Greek or male or female or slave or free. We're united in the shalom of Christ. The walls separating us and between us and God, the wall of the tabernacle is torn down. The wall of hostility between us and the Father is broken through Christ. He makes and does what we could not in the law. Fulfills the law. And draws us together as one body, each interdependent, needing each other, encouraging each other, equipping each other, thinking of each other, caring for each other, considering each more highly than ourselves. He preaches peace to us. The Holy Spirit groaning, peace, peace, peace in our hearts. Those who were far off and those who were near, Jew or Gentile, drawing us together, knitting us together with one heart. In Christ, we're drawn into the Trinity, restoring what was broken in Eden. We can approach the Father as Father, Abba, through Christ, with his Spirit. We're no longer various tribes of differing peoples with different allegiances and interests driving us against each other. We have one common Father. A Savior who saved all of us. We can point to one cross as one people, one nation, one priesthood, with full membership of the family of God. There's no second-class citizens. We're included as heirs, children, brothers, sisters, friends, through Christ. Our peace, who makes things whole. His church, his temple, a billion, billion people, separate stones knit together as one temple for God, a holy temple. That has some gravity. We have a good high priest. Where we couldn't enter the Holy of Holies now enters us. There are no gaps between us, driving us apart. Rather, Christ's peace is the mortar holding us together. Christ is the great unifier, the abolisher of our slavery, the maker of new hearts, the firstborn of our Father, the author of our faith, the cornerstone of this new temple. He's our peace and our shalom. And this is just a taste of what we get when he comes again. The amount of peace that we got when he saved us from our sin, to that degree, we get more when he comes back. If he is in us, if we care for his commandments, if we're his people, If we're not, then the picture in Revelation gets a lot scarier. He's coming. Come, Lord Jesus. The longest we have to wait is a handful of decades. He might come sooner. That should be good news. That's all I have this morning. Stand as we sing.